Good morning. This is Sunday, August 13th. We had our morning 11 o'clock meditation. And now we press on with our study of the altitude of prayer. Chapter 11. Individuality revealed through prayer. He says, the purpose of prayer is to bring the Spirit to our individual experience so that this parenthesis may be permeated with the Spirit and the fourth dimensional substance called the Christ may come into activity. This is a transcendental presence, a substance, an essence. And so Joel is telling us that the purpose of prayer is to bring through the Spirit into our experience. It is an unseen spiritual influence. And the person who is illumined has contact with its essence. Two words for illumination used in the Orient are Satori and Darshan. Christian mysticism has a word for us too, a beautiful word, grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My meaning the invisible spiritual center or source. We live by grace. We can do all things through the grace of God. And we can't do anything without it. The transcendental presence must become a living experience permeating our consciousness. It is a reality, even though the human mind cannot understand it. The human eyes cannot see it. The human ears cannot hear it. It is so real that when it happens, we know it, and there are no questions. When anyone asks the question, how may I know if this is real? He has not yet experienced it. When a person does, it is unmistakable, not only in its manner of expression, but in the fruitage. When a person is touched by the transcendental presence, something in his life will be better. His health, supply, morals, home, family relationships, or business. And the more he contacts it, the more his life will be an outer expression of an inner divinity. This experience will never be fully attained until through prayer and meditation the veil of illusion that separates us from reality is rent. So in creation, God is the Father, the substance, and men and women, the children. God the Father, God the children. But the children are still of God. They are made of the basic substance formed in its image and likeness. God is an invisible substance, and therefore the child of God is also invisible. And so I ask here in the margin, are you the child of God? Then you are invisible. And so I repeat what I said in the very first talk I ever made 10 or 15 years ago now. If you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, it's a false self and was not made by God. because the child of God is also invisible. He is just as much spirit as God is spirit, and is formed of the same substance as God, which is incorporeal spirit. So we have God, infinite perfection, and we have His sons and daughters, also infinitely perfect, made in the image and likeness of God. They are as perfect as their source. At this stage, men and women need no prayers. They have nothing but divine qualities. They lack nothing, so they do not have to get back to anything. They have no needs. They are living in the truth. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. We begin to understand creation as the word consciousness, or the word I, takes on new meaning. Let us begin with the truth that I, consciousness, am God. Consciousness is God. Now, we had that last week or the week before. Consciousness, your consciousness is God. But all I am is consciousness, therefore I am the divine consciousness in expression, or I am God in expression. There cannot be an unexpressed consciousness. Consciousness must be consciousness expressed, consciousness manifested, or I expressed, I manifested. Let us call whatever that consciousness is as manifestation, let us call it individual being. I, God, manifest as I, the Son. That consciousness is inseparable and indivisible from itself. I, the Son, am forever in and of I, the Father, for we are one. Now, I hope you see that God really is closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet, because God is your very own consciousness. Your conscious awareness is God. And so how far away is God? Somewhere up in the sky, somewhere in a man 2,000 years ago? No. It is said that God is wherever God is realized. And so if your consciousness is aware of itself, then you are aware of God, and God is where you are. In this light, we see that the qualities of God are manifest as the qualities of the Son. The qualities of infinite consciousness are the qualities of individual consciousness, because only the one consciousness forms itself as individual you and me. Since we are formed of consciousness, the essence, substance and activity of our being is the essence, substance and being of God, of the I. All that I, divine consciousness, have is yours as individual consciousness. In this awareness, we do not live by might or by power. We live by my spirit, my consciousness. The consciousness of the Father is the consciousness of the Son. He's really driving that home. God consciousness is your consciousness. And this is beautiful here. He says, we have a life lived as the gift of God, because we are heirs of God, and all that God has is ours. We are formed of the substance of God, and this entire creation is spiritual. I, the Father, infinite divine consciousness, manifest as individual consciousness, yet always one. This is the spiritual perfect creation. So, consciousness is not something you can get a hold of with your hands. Consciousness, being infinite, is not something you can grasp with your mind. Consciousness is invisible. And so you are invisible. You are consciousness. I am consciousness. I remember Joel said that in a meditation one time. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. And so I am invisible, eternal. That which God formed in its image and likeness is invisible. It's a temple not made with mind. It's a consciousness made by God. And it is the exact perfect image and likeness of God. Are you looking for God? Consciousness is where I am. He also said that consciousness is the most important word in the infinite way. But something happened. A belief in two powers arose. The perfect man and woman lost their God identity and were separate and apart from God. Remember, this happened only in belief, because you can't be separated from yourself. But in the belief of two powers, you're separate and apart from God. If you and I knew that there is only one power, none of us would have any problems to solve. It is because we have accepted in our consciousness the belief in two powers that we are trying to find the truth that will free us from this belief and restore us to the Father's consciousness. We are not going to waste any time asking why it happened, how it happened, or how it could happen. All we are going to do is accept the fact that one day we were born and we had no awareness of our original spiritual identity. We believed that we had two human parents, being unaware of the truth that there is really only one parent, the divine consciousness, which we are and which we manifest as individual being. We are ignorant of our identity. We are ignorant of the fact that we are heirs to a tremendous fortune, to all the spiritual riches. We are ignorant of the truth that our life is God. So we protect our life and do all sorts of things to a life that is already infinite and cannot be changed. We live in a little world of human creation, the world that our great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, and school teachers help to create in their minds and pass on to us. You see, it was created in their minds. A world made by mind. Then he shares, I have been in the same position in which you have been, not finding this world a very satisfactory place, not disliking it enough to try to get out of it, yet disliking it enough to resort to all kinds of escapisms to avoid having to face the fact that we are non-entities struggling for survival against terrible odds and with almost no control over our own lives. Isn't that just the perfect creation of mind? No control over our own lives. We were born in a far country, far from our father's house, completely unaware of our true identity, and with a personal self. I must fend for myself. The human being has the divine being hidden down inside in consciousness, so deep down that there is no awareness of its being there. Think of that for a moment. You are not this human being that was born of two parents. This human being that was born of two parents, this is a mental creation. This is a mind image. And there's no life in it. Let the dead bury the dead. This image is dead. And if you spend a lot of time in it, you're dead. You're the walking dead. But what are you really? Consciousness, God consciousness, that inner I, which says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This inner I is consciousness formed, but it's not formed as a material person. Consciousness is formed as invisible, spiritual, incorporeal substance. And that substance is your true identity. And in a moment, when ye think not, I am come. And why? I am come that you might have life, and life more abundant. Row upon row upon row of supply. Infinite, eternal, never-ending life. Omnipresence. Omnipresence itself. Omnipresence companionship. These are the riches that the Father has for you. But you must stop living in that mental image. You must turn within. And in a moment of silence, in an absence of any mental image, that I within you comes forth and announces itself. Peace. Be still. I am here. It is I. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid of these mental images. Right here where you see them, it is I. And dwelling in that consciousness, it manifests. The invisible becomes visible as harmony. Only spiritual insight will tell us that underneath these clothes there is a temple made by and of God. The creative principle, God, formed it, and formed it of the substance of Himself. How are we ever going to come into the knowledge and demonstration of our true being and body? How are we going to be able to penetrate beneath the surface so that we see something more than the eyes see and hear something more than the ears hear? To all the five senses, we are mortals, born, aging, dying. We have limited lives, limited mentalities, limited strength. But to this limited sense, a few men and women of intuition and vision say, "No, no, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and God dwells in you? Know ye not that ye are the image and likeness of God? Ye are spiritual. Ye are of the substance of God." But again, these great spiritual men and women of all ages keep saying, "Do not believe what you see or hear. God, truth, is not in the appearance. God is in the still small voice." And so you need something other than the five physical senses in order to feel that inner God consciousness, in order to feel the still small voice. And that is spiritual discernment, or discerning the spirit. We have been told about our true identity, our true selfhood, but we have heard it only with the hearing of the ears. We have not yet discerned it, nor unlocked whatever it is that is blocking the entrance to our self. The process of knowing the truth, of searching for God, is like taking the skin from an onion, one onion skin at a time. It does not seem to do much toward getting to the center. Nevertheless, something has happened, even with the removal of one layer of onion skin. As we imbibe truth through knowledge of and devotion to truth and through meditation, layer after layer of the outer false self drops away. When we finish removing every skin from the onion, we have nothing left. Now listen to this. When we finish removing every skin from the onion, we have nothing left. We have nothing which is all. We have that nothing which is all. that nothing which is spiritual, that nothing which is the essence of life. That is the very nothing that we find in the center of the onion, and that is the very nothing that we find when every bit of our humanhood is taken from us, when we have completely divested ourselves of self. There is nothing left, and that nothing is the I that we are. Oh, that is such a huge, huge clue. Don't be afraid of this. Don't be afraid of becoming a nothing, because you're not really becoming a nothing. As he says, that nothing is the I that we are. And so when you become nothing of a personal self, in that nothingness, you are everything. In that nothing, you are infinite. In that nothing, you are eternal. In that nothing, you are omnipresent. It's really a paradox that by becoming nothing, you are everything. There was a book out called The Everything and the Nothing, written or spoken by Meher Baba, and it was along these same lines. The Everything and the Nothing. When you are nothing, you are everything. And so you're not going to disappear. No, you're going to evolve from a human being to God being. And the ascension is coming up over the mental images, the mental creation, the world. And it is the most peaceful, the most joyous, the most wonderful place you have ever experienced. Because it's not really a place, it's consciousness. So don't be afraid of this. Dive in, the water is fine. The moment a person is satisfied with himself, with his demonstration, supply, or companionship, he has lost the opportunity of attaining heaven. Only in dissatisfaction with humanhood, even when it is good, do we go higher. There's a name for that too, and I forgot what it is, but it's divine dissatisfaction. What are we going to find when we reach our Christhood? Jesus called himself by the name of I, and he said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This inner self of us, which is hidden inside the flesh, blood, and bones, is our own Christhood, and is always saying to us, I am come here within you to be your life everlasting. I am to resurrect you out of any tomb into which you may have fallen. You see, the human mental image life is a tomb, and you are Lazarus in the tomb. And Christ has come to resurrect you out of the tomb of mental images. And so let them go. Let them be. Don't try to improve them. Come to God empty. Come within. Sit before the throne and listen. And God will reveal itself. And God will resurrect you out of that tomb. You may hear God say, Lazarus, come forth. You may hear God say, Mary, which is what happened in the garden. And then her eyes were open. She was ascended. Master. You may hear Peter. It is I. Be not afraid. In the beginning, God sent Himself forth as our incorporeal spiritual being. As His Son, our name is Christ. But we identify ourselves by the name I. God is the self of me, and therefore it is myself that is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. I am nothing that can be seen, heard, tasted, touched, or smelled. So there it is, right there. I am nothing that anyone can get his mind or his fingers on, because I am nowhere between the toenails and the top of the head. I am that I am, which I was in the beginning with God, incorporeal, real selfhood. The dictionary says incorporeal is not having a material body or form, not consisting of matter. And unsubstantial, bodiless, spiritual. So we read, that in the beginning God sent Himself forth as our incorporeal spiritual being. Now, when did God change? And you say, why, God is unchanging. Well, then we are still our incorporeal spiritual being. We are still God sent forth. The object of prayer is to strip this outer sense of self away until we get back into the withinness of our own being and there find ourselves to be that I. This is the return to the Father's house, and a house is consciousness. Return to the Father's house is return to the Father's consciousness, or return to an awareness of the Father. And that's what happens to us as we walk this path. You know, in the beginning, the very beginning, when we're practicing the presence, we may say to ourselves as we step out the front door in the morning. God is just as much on the other side of this door as He is on this side. And so in Him I live and move and have my being. And then we get to an appointment we had, and there's a parking space right up front, and we go in and everything is harmonious during our appointment. The right words are said at the right time. There's a feeling that nobody's putting on any airs. Everybody's just being. And it's wonderful. And later that evening, as we reflect on our day, we realize, hey, these principles work when I work them. And so we're making the very beginning of our return to an awareness of God. And then as we continue and we add meditation, we find out that there really is a still small voice. And sometimes it thunders within. And we begin to become even more aware of God consciousness. We have discarded our mortal skin for our spiritual identity, and now we can say, yes, I know that I am. I am the embodiment of the power of resurrection and of life eternal. I am the embodiment of my food, clothing, housing, and transportation. I am the way. My whole life now walks the way of I. I dedicate my life to this way. That's nice, huh? The way of I. I like that. What are we doing while we are realizing all this? We are praying. This is prayer. This is knowing the truth that makes us free. This is communion with our inner self. This is meditation. As long as you remember to pause, you have to have that pause. It's in the pause that the invisible makes itself known. It's in the pause that you feel its inner movement. It's in the pause that you become aware of an invisible, incorporeal presence. We are contemplating the truth of ourself. Our eyes can be closed or open when we are doing this. Knowing the I comes not with deadness or unconsciousness, but with spiritual alertness, with the ability to be vigorous but not forceful. Vigorous but not forceful. Prayer, then, is a recognition of our true identity. Yes, prayer is the conscious awareness of our true identity. At first, prayer has a great many words and thoughts because the whole idea is new. We have to rehearse it. We do not believe it. We even go over to the mirror to see if the body is changing and find that for a long while it is not. Now we know that hidden within us, indwelling, is the I that we are, and our given name is only a courtesy name. The real name is I, and the self of one of us is the self of every one of us. When we realize that locked up inside of us is I, we will learn to meditate and pray. We will make that eye talk to us before we get through with it. We will open out a way for that imprisoned eye to get out and be the still small voice for which we are listening. And sometimes it will thunder in our ears, because now we know that this I that I am is locked up inside of us. As we rip this outer mental selfhood away, and I underline that mental selfhood, as we rip this outer mental selfhood away, we find I in the midst of us. I am here, I am there, and I am everywhere. Let this glorious I shine forth, because it is spirit. It is God in action. It is God individualized. Let us open our consciousness and let this I shine forth. And so the name of this chapter is Individuality Revealed Through Prayer. And what it means is, the Christ of your being comes forth and reveals itself as you pray aright. And so we started on this path, perhaps we were really tired of being sick all the time, so we turned to spiritual principles, and as we uncovered and discovered parts of ourselves that are mental images, we began to see clearer, and we realize that God consciousness manifests itself as us. And we stop taking thought for our lives. And then we realize that somewhere along the line, health had been added. It was an added thing in this search for our true identity. Or perhaps we were limited and lacking, and we just barely had enough to make ends meet, and we were working at a job we hated, but thought that we had to. But as we studied spiritual principles, we discovered that we could, that it wasn't the job, it was us. We could unload that belief system, and we could do what we'd love to do, just to add to the universe. And that the universe, somewhere in our walking, began to take care of us without any effort. Or perhaps we were lonely and alone, couldn't seem to find somebody to be with. The harder we searched, the worse things got. There's nothing worse than a relationship that's been built by this mind that likes to build things in its image and likeness. So we're alone again. But we study spiritual principles, And in our prayer meditation, we discover that God is with us. That wherever I am, God is. Wherever God is, I am. And we're never alone again. And somewhere during this journey, without us even realizing it, we met someone, and that someone is perfect for us. And so we see slowly that all these things we were searching for are the added things, and they come when we're not looking for them. They come when we're practicing spiritual principles. They come when we're looking the other way. And we finally end up seeing that this entire journey was all about divesting ourselves of mental images and coming into the awareness that God consciousness is still manifesting itself as the I within me. And so we've come a long way, haven't we, in our prayer life and in our meditation. Sometimes we sit down and we don't even have a reason for sitting down. We're not meditating for any particular reason. We're just going within and resting there, asking for nothing, content, knowing that the nothingness within is the allness without. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it just glorious? Listen again to what he says at the very last paragraph. Let this glorious I shine forth, because it is spirit. It is God in action. It is God individualized. Let us open our consciousness and let this glorious eye shine forth. Stand ye still. Stop. Father, glorify thyself. I can of mine own self do nothing. And so I bear witness and taking a peek back at the very first chapter, he says, "Let your prayer be, Father, reveal thyself." Then open those ears to hear that still small voice, until eventually the way is opened through which it can be heard. When you reach the fourth dimensional consciousness, your prayers are without words or thoughts. And of course I wrote in the margin, you pray with your ears, not with your mouth. Put these principles into practice as you understand them. And if you don't understand them, how to put one in practice, ask. Just ask. If you ask the group, more than one person will answer. And you'll know. Ah, that's how you put it in practice. I missed it. I was doing this over here. But then you'll know. And moving forward, you'll be practicing rightly. Well, that's all I have for this week. Thank you for drawing it forth. I'm nothing without you. But you draw forth the truth. Truth that I don't even know I know sometimes until I hear myself say it. Please believe me, if you become the nothing in your prayer, you will experience the everything. Thank you. God bless.